Heavenly Father, may the words I speak not be my words, but your words. And may we hear with your Spirit informing our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In my younger days, I very much enjoyed playing football. I played for my college team when I was at uni. I mean, C team level. We weren't the elite, I think it's fair to say. We were the ones who played for what you would call the love of the game. And when I came home at the holidays, I used to play for my church team. I played as much football as I could. But I wasn't very good. I was never good enough to play up front. So I worked out the best way to get myself a position on any team was to pick a position that no one else really wanted to play. And I was never quite agile enough to play in goal, so I went for a defender. I played at right back, and I made that position my own. Everywhere I played, every team I played for, I put my hand up and said, I'm a right back. I will play in this team. And I nailed that position. Everywhere I went, it became my position because I had a trick that I used to play. At the start of each game that I played, no matter who the opposition, the first 5-10 minutes, I'd make sure that at some stage I would make some barnstorming run along the right wing. I would put in some devilish cross into the middle of the box. I would hang around on the edge of the penalty area looking for those knockdowns shots. I would cause as much havoc to the opposition as I could in those first 5-10 minutes. I wanted my opposition player, the left winger, to be terrified of me. I wanted them to think that I was some kind of genius level right back who they had to be on their toes the whole game. Basically, I wanted them not to attack. I wanted an easy life. I would set my stall out at the very start of the match. This is who I am. This is how I play, and you need to be afraid. And it would kind of work for about 5 minutes. I set out my stall early on. I set out my mission statement. This is who I am. And in our gospel reading this morning, we have a mission statement. We have Jesus setting out his stall early on. This is the kind of person that I am. This is the kind of ministry that I'm going to have. This is how you need to understand what I am going to say and what I am doing and my very being. This, at the start of Luke's gospel, is the mission statement of Jesus' ministry. So far in Luke's gospel, we've heard about the origins of Jesus. We've heard about his birth. We've heard about his presentation in the temple. We've heard about his cousin John and his baptism of Jesus. We've heard about Jesus' temptations. And now, halfway through chapter 4, we get to the very start of Jesus's, I suppose you'd call it, his active ministry. Jesus came in the power of the Spirit. And people began to talk about him and listen to him. This, in Luke's eyes, is Jesus' mission statement. This passage from Isaiah, this song of the servant, this messianic prophecy. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. This is what Luke is saying is Jesus' mission statement. Now, mission statement is one of those buzz phrases that you hear batted around in church, and it can make people switch off. It can become one of those, you know, they're talking about mission statements again, or purpose statements, or life statements, and it becomes a cliche. It becomes something that makes us switch off. But there is a power to having a good mission statement. There is something valuable if you do it well. It becomes a way of setting out your priorities. These are the things that matter. These are the things that we're about. This is how you need to understand what we say, what we do, how we live. Our church has a mission statement. I'm not going to test you to see if you remember it. I've been in churches where they've done that before and everyone sits there blankly going, ah. But R1, you will find it on our website. It says, St. Mary's seeks to be a church that is inspired by God's passion for the world. St. Mary seeks to be a church that is inspired by God's passion for the world. I love that. It's not about us. It's about what God does and us responding to that. That's how we want people to understand us as a church. All the various many activities that go on in St. Mary's should be understood in this light. We're inspired by God's passion for the world. Now we focus that down here as well. We pick out five particular areas of ministry that we want to spend focus and attention on. Worshipping and praying. Growing as disciples. Caring as a fellowship. Serving, transforming the community. Proclaiming the gospel. These are the things that we draw out of our mission statement. These are the things that help us to keep focused on where we're going and what we're doing. These things are what we say as a church are important to us. But here's a question. Do you, as an individual, as a follower of Jesus, ever stop to ask, what's my mission? What's my mission statement? What's the thing that drives me, that leads me onwards? Am I worshipping? Am I growing in my faith? Am I serving others? Am I encouraging my brothers and sisters in fellowship? Am I telling other people about the good news? Can you articulate a purpose in your life? If someone asked you, could you say, these are the things that I'm about, and this is how you need to understand my words, my deeds, my life? Because it does make a difference. There was a book published turn of the century, about 2000, maybe 99, called Purpose Driven Life. It was a book written by a guy called Rick Warren, which is a surprisingly difficult name to say, if you say it quick, Rick Warren. He was a pastor of a megachurch in America, Saddleback, a really big church. He wrote this book. It's a fantastic book, loads of really good things in it. And he took those five purposes that we've actually talked about, and he wrote things on them for each day, for 40 days, a way of journeying through exploring what your purpose is. And he wrote this book, and this book became a bestseller, and loads of people read it, and loads of people had it on their bookshelves, and it became a big thing at the time, particularly in America. And it happened that in 2005, a prisoner from a courthouse escaped from captivity, overpowered the guards and the judges and escaped, and took a hostage near the courthouse. And the lady he took hostage in her own home was someone who had a copy of The Purpose Driven Life. And she read from it to her captor. He allowed her to read because, you know, I guess if you're holding someone captive, boredom can be an issue. But he allowed her to read from this book, Purpose Driven Life. She shared with him that life has purpose. She shared with him what purpose she lived by, what she felt God was leading her to. And it made a difference. He allowed her to go. After 24 hours, he said, go and pick up your daughter from nursery. Having a purpose does make a difference. It makes a difference to our lives as individuals. It makes a difference to our lives as a gathered community, as a church. This is what we're about, we say. But our other readings this morning also do actually give us some kind of hint about what we should be understanding this as, particularly our reading from Corinthians that talks about us as a body, because this is another purpose that we're called to. We can't do it on our own. It's all well and good each one of us having purpose in our life, but actually we do need each other. We are a gathered community, a body of people. We come with different stories, different experiences, different backgrounds, different thoughts, different emotions, different ways of being. But by being together, we are stronger. We can help each other. We are more together than we are individually. And this is part of our purpose too. I mentioned at the start that I used to start each football match for 5-10 minutes by being really driven. I say I started each match for 5-10 minutes because I never got past the 10 minutes of rushing forward, because I was never skillful or energetic or fit enough to be able to do it. I spent the first 10 minutes doing that. The next 80 minutes, I would normally be stood on the edge of my own penalty area, wheezing and trying to catch my breath. But the good news is for us that our purpose, our mission, our drive doesn't have to be from our own strength. Luke says, Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, went to all those synagogues, to all those places, to all those towns in Galilee. And we're not called to rely on our own energy to fulfill our purpose, to fulfill our calling, our leading. We're called to do it in God's strength. He gives us His Spirit that transforms our efforts. He gives us His strength that we can live life in such a way that honors and glorifies Him, that lives out our purpose, that means we proclaim His name, that we grow in our faith, that we encourage others, that we share the good news around us, that we transform the society in which we live. And God gives us His Spirit to do that. So my prayer for you, for me, for us as a church today, is that we may know God's purpose for our lives, that we may be inspired by it to transform our community, and that we may do so in the strength of His Spirit that He pours out on us so graciously. Amen.